This morning we're going to continue back in 1 John, and I believe Dave Tanner was able to finish up the end of chapter 3. In a few weeks when we're in Africa, both Dave and Ben will be sharing in this series as well. They'll be dealing more with the end of 1 John chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5, but we continue to move our way through 1 John, and now we come into 1 John chapter 4, and John is speaking on some just everyday practical warnings, some admonitions, and some things that all of us need to be reminded of as we look at this particular passage from 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1, it says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Let's have a word of prayer before we begin this morning. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for each one of us, and including within that, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given to each person who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, I pray that you would allow us as believers to utilize the Holy Spirit and allow him to work in the manner in which you intended him to work. Father, may you give us wisdom, may you give us discernment, may you give us understanding. And Father, may you help us to be wise as serpents. Father, there are so many things that we face from an evangelical thought process, from a Christian thought process, from a quasi-biblical thought process that require us to have discernment. And Father, this morning as we look at this text from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I pray that you would help us to understand the reality of what we are facing in our world today. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. This particular text of Scripture, verses 1 through 6, is interesting as John begins in verse 1, and he really gets right to the heart of what he's trying to get at. The issue is naive Christianity. The issue is Christians who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They know Christ as their personal Savior, and yet when it comes down to it, they are like every wind that is blowing them about. They're blown about by every wind of doctrine. This is what Timothy talks about when he says, do not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And so we look at this and we look at these elements that are in our world today within evangelicalism, within Christianity as a whole, within the greater thought process of religion. And it's really easy for us to get swept up into some new teaching or some new thing or some new perspective. And John's argument here for us this morning is to say, believers, you have the obligation to be discerning. It is amazing to me how some people can gravitate to a new book that has come out with some, what I would think is some crazy thought process about how Christianity should now be done, or something that no one for 2,000 years has ever seen until I came on the scene, and now I've seen a new thing, and people gravitate to that. I get handed books often. Hey, check this out. Hey, read this. Hey, I picked this up. Hey, this is great. And you begin to read through it, and you think it's actually a little daunting and a little scary as a pastor to think, are we getting through? Do we actually know Scripture? Do we actually understand Scripture? Are we actually discerning in our scriptural understanding? And this is what John is dealing with. When he says here, do not believe every spirit, He's going to make a connection for us here in just a little bit to these false prophets. These things that we hear that when I flip on the television and I turn to whatever Christian television station I may come across and I turn on some television preacher, John's argument to us is this: be discerning. Because just because they're on TV doesn't mean that they're good. When I flip on the radio and I'm listening to a particular radio station and somebody comes on as a radio preacher or giving me instruction, John's argument would be the same thing. Do not believe everything that you hear, but test everything that you hear. It's amazing to me how many Christians are so quickly pulled into some new concept or some new perspective or some new way of doing things that is contrary to Scripture. And so John is addressing this matter here in verse 1 through 6 of John, 1 John chapter 4, when he's saying, we must be discerning. In fact, I would argue this: you must be discerning every Sunday you show up to Whitneyville Bible Church. You have to be. You say, well, we know Dave and we trust Dave, and Dave seems like a good guy, and he seems pretty straight and narrow, so we could just take everything that he says and just go with it. And I would say this: don't do that. Make sure that you have your Bible. Make sure that you're testing everything that is said, everything that comes out, and say, is this in fact what God's Word says? Because Dave Dietz is not the standard of authority. God's Word is the standard, which is given to us by inspiration from God. Everything must be filtered through the Word of God. When I walk into a Christian bookstore, what must I do? I must be discerning. We have lots of bookstores in Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids is, at one point, used to be the hub of all the used bookstores, and pastors from all over the country would flock to Grand Rapids to get in on all the used books that you could buy. And you can still buy a lot of books at different bookstores. Just because you walk into Baker Book does not mean that everything that is sold there is in line with Scripture. We have to be discerning. There are too many Christians who say, oh, well, I think I know that person, or I think I know that organization, or I think I know of that situation, so I'm just going to trust it and I'm just going to go along with it. And there are example after example of pastors and authors and writers who have strayed from the faith, and in so doing have pulled many Christians in with them. So John begins this way, the call for discernment, number one in your outline, the call for discernment. Beloved, this is the term of endearment that John is speaking to. Remember, John is the grandpa. This is John at 90-some years old who is writing to younger believers and younger people in the faith, and he's writing to them with this term of endearment to say, I love you and I don't want you to be caught up in something that is not true. So he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but rather test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. So what's the call for discernment? First of all, letter A, do not believe everything you hear. People say, well, I heard this on the radio. I heard a radio preacher say this. I heard a guy on the television. He said this, so therefore it must be true. It's kind of like people will say, well, I read it on the internet, so therefore it must be true. If Wikipedia is your source of information, be careful. If you don't know anything about Wikipedia, that's where everybody can kind of chime in on what they want to create in this information place. And so we look at things, we hear things, we read things, we listen to things, and we are given things. We need to be discerning. We need to make sure that we're not believing everything that we hear. What does that mean? The converse of the statement is this, is that there are things out there that are being said that are untrue. We know this in politics today. Many of you know that this is the day and age in which we live in, and you know I'm not a super, my mom and dad just had a conversation with me about being more involved in this area. I despise it, but maybe I need to do that a little bit more. But you know, in the day and age in which we live, the Supreme Court nominee that was just put forward, and many of you probably saw the articles that were published ahead of time before he was even announced, decrying who he was or she was, and they didn't even know who it was. That's the day and age in which we live. And if we're living in that day and age in our political world, we are certainly living in that in our religious world, where everything that comes out is not gospel truth. Everything that comes out is not in line with Scripture. And John is warning these believers to say, don't believe everything you hear. The word believe there is the idea of to believe something to the point of complete reliance. In other words, you think it is gospel truth because you heard it on the radio. Or you believe it is gospel truth because you saw it published in a book that was sold at a Christian bookstore. Or you believe it is gospel truth because you saw it on television, or you read it, or you listened to it in a podcast. Not everything that is being sent out in the name of God is actually in the name of God. John says, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every message. But instead of that, he says, test everything you hear. You say, that takes a lot of work. It actually does. But here's the deal. The more you know your Bible, the less work it's going to take you. The more you read God's word, the more you understand God's word, the more familiar with God's word you are, when you hear something, you can say, you know what, I don't even have to go to my Bible and study that. I know that's not true because this is what God's word has to say in this text, or this is what God's word has to say in this text. This is how this violates this text. Why are Christians so easily sucked into false teaching? Because they don't actually know their Bible. Because the vast majority of Christians today are going to show up in church, they're going to check a box, they're going to say, well, that was fun, I enjoyed that 1 hour of time, and they're going to leave, and that is the extent of their Bible knowledge they are going to receive. You say, well, that might be a little bit judgmental. Do you know every person in America, every Christian like that? No, I don't. But the mere fact that we have so many people being pulled into every thought and every doctrine that is out there indicates that we have people who do not know Scripture the way God intended them to do. So John says here, test the spirits. The term that John uses is actually a term for the metallurgist, the one who would test metals to see their purity or their clarity. He would test it. Those of you that have purchased rings for your wives, diamond rings for your wives, it's okay to do that as long as your wife is ignorant about diamonds, right? But guys, you know as well as I do that there's a whole range of stuff that goes into processing what the clarity and what the value and all the different cuts and all the things that go into a diamond. Kimberly and I don't know, it was a while back, heard a little one-hour seminar on all the different aspects of diamonds, and the lady was telling you how to buy a good diamond at a low price. Because you can tweak just a certain aspect of a diamond and its value will drop. That's the idea that John is presenting to us, to be the metallurgist, to be the one who tests the metal, so to speak, the one who tests the purity of something, the legitimacy of something. That's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 22, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So here's a question for you. When was the last time you tested what you heard? Whether that was from this pulpit, whether that was from the radio, whether that was from the television, whether that was from a book somebody offered you, when was the last time you tested what you heard or read? When was the last time you were diligent, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, to test everything? So that's a lot of work, and that's a lot of energy, and that's a lot of things that I'm supposed to be doing, and yet the reality is all of us as believers should be saying, you know what, I want to make sure that I stay true to what God's word has to say. Look at the connection that John is making here in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. What is the connection that John is making here to the word spirit and to the word false prophet? He is connecting these two. So when John is writing in verse 1 and says, do not believe every spirit, he's making this connection to false prophets. He's making this connection to people who are communicating what seems to be something that is from God. Because some people may look at verse 1 and say, well, I don't understand what he means by every spirit. I haven't seen a spirit lately. I mean, maybe I had some crazy dreams, or maybe something happened. I had too much pizza late at night and I saw some crazy stuff. But in reality, I don't see spirits every day. So what spirits is he talking about? He's talking about those who are communicating God's word or communicating religious material, those who are communicating in this aspect. John says this, the call for discernment is this, do not believe everything you hear, but rather test everything that you hear. The question then becomes why? If you have children still at home, grandchildren at home, great-grandchildren at home, the word why probably comes up a lot. John, why are we supposed to be discerning? Why do you make such an emphasis, John, on testing everything that we hear? And he says this in the end of verse 1. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Think about that for a second. Just think about that phrase. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. John says the need for discernment is this. First of all, there are many false prophets, and second of all, they are in the world today. The word many is the idea. It's not actually the Greek word plethora, which would be millions upon millions, I mean, just overwhelming number, but the word many that John uses here is a large quantity. What is John arguing for? There is a strong likelihood that every one of us has sat under the hearing or the reading or the listening, the absorbing of some material that was given to us by someone who was a false prophet. It is very likely that every one of you has encountered in some capacity the teaching of a false teacher. If we sit there and say, well, there's probably only like one or two false teachers out in the world, and there's, you know, there's all these almost 8 billion people in the world today, so it's unlikely that I'm going to hear anything from them. The fact of the matter is, as John makes argument for here, it is highly likely that some of you, maybe all of us, have listened to, have read, have been exposed to some element of false teaching. That's why Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Matthew says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Here's the deal with false teachers. They usually aren't with the little horns and the pitchfork. That's not how they look. In fact, they probably look pretty suave and debonair. They look pretty slick, unassuming, people that you would never think about, people that do not give you that indication from their public appearance. Matthew goes on in chapter 24, verse 11 and verse 24 to say this, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. What does that mean? For those of us that are believers, who's the target of these false teachers? Us. Believers. We need to be on the lookout. We need to be watchful. We need to be mindful. Mark chapter 13, verse 22 says this, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect, but be on guard. I have told you all these things beforehand. John is repeating this to say, listen, Christ told you that when he was here doing his earthly ministry. I'm reminding you of that. Paul is reminding you of that. Good preachers through the centuries have been reminding us of this. And yet, as Paul talks about in Timothy, as the end of days come, we will be ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Here is the way we should not respond to this. We should not start looking at everybody and going, I bet you they're a false teacher. We shouldn't respond like that. We shouldn't have this like paranoia that is about us. We shouldn't be looking at every person that comes and preaches, every elder that we have at Whitneyville and say, I bet you Ben. They said there's a lot of false teachers. It's got to be Dave, Ben, or Dave. I bet you it's Ben. He doesn't have, you know, I bet you it's him. No, that's not the way we should behave. That's not the way we should act. But we should say, you know what, when Ben gets up here and preaches, you better test everything that Ben says. When I'm up here preaching, you better test everything that I say. If Dave Tanner is up here or anybody else is up here, you better test everything they say. Because as believers, it is too easy for us to be naively sucked into false teaching and false doctrine. Number three, John gives us the criteria for discernment, the call for discernment in verse 1, the need for discernment in the end of verse 1. But now the criteria for discernment. How do we know? How do we know who is a false teacher? How do we know what is being talked about is bad? Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. John is comparing. Remember the first part of verse 1, he says, do not believe every spirit. So there are multiple spirits, really two categories of spirits, those that are of God, those that are of Satan, those that are proclaiming Christ, those that are not proclaiming Christ. Verse 2, he says this, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and now is in the world already. So there's two criteria, two general criteria that John gives. First of all, this question, do they believe Christ is Lord and Savior? It isn't just a specific aspect of, yes, I believe there was someone from God and he came in the flesh. It's a deeper thing than that. Do they believe the character and the nature of who Jesus Christ is? Do they believe who Jesus Christ is, what he came here to accomplish, and what he did for us? As Tim read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage that Paul is communicating, he says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be informed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. That's why A.W. Tozer said this, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So check with people. Hey, when you think about God, what do you think about? Who is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this man that came, this God that came in the flesh? Did he die for our sins? Is he Lord and Savior? Is he the one who paid the penalty for our sins? Paul says this here in 1 Corinthians 12, but John communicates that to us as well in verse 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every person that proclaims, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who died on the cross for our sins, who took upon him the penalty of our sins and paid them in full so that we may have salvation. That is a test of a true teacher or a false teacher. So John asks this question, do they believe Christ is Lord and Savior or do they not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? You say, well, some people seem to indicate that they are, but then when they get tested on that or they get checked on that, they seem to have all sorts of different variants of that answer. I've listened to several different video clips on YouTube of various well-known preachers in America. And when they are grilled on the specifics of who is Jesus Christ, many of them begin to skirt the issue to say, well, you know, Jesus Christ may just simply be one way, but we're all trying to find our way to get there. And he is a good way, and he's just one way. That is a denial of who Jesus Christ is, because when he came, what did he say? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Here's what's happened in our politically correct, sensitive world that we now live in. Believers are warned against saying the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Believers are warned against saying Jesus Christ is the only way to a relationship with God. Jesus Christ is the only way to have eternal life. Why? Because by default, what we're saying is everyone else is wrong. And we're encouraged not to say that other people are wrong. We're encouraged to say, well, you know what? Jesus Christ is a great way. But there's probably some other really good ways out there too. That is in full confrontation to the truth of Scripture. So as believers, as you work in your work environments, as you go about your daily lives, as you're living your lives, and the question comes up, is Jesus Christ truly Lord and Savior? Is Jesus Christ truly the only way to eternal life? The answer has to unequivocally be yes, He is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no man can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So the criteria for this discernment, John says, is this: who is Jesus Christ? Is He truly the only way, because He is the only Savior and Lord? Finally, number four in your outline, the confidence of discernment. What confidence do we have in this? Because you may look at this and say, well, man, John, you really give us a lot to think about here, because you tell us that we're supposed to test all the spirits, we're supposed to try everything and put it through the filter of God's word, we're supposed to test it out because there's many false prophets that are out in this world, and we don't know who the spirit of God is versus who the spirit of Satan is, but if they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's a good indication. That's a lot. What confidence do we have in our discernment? Well, John goes into that. Verse 4, little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. Who's the them? In context, the them is the false teachers. In other words, John is making this argument. There is a battle, if you will. There is a competition, if you will, between the false teachers, those who are preaching and teaching things that are contrary to God's word, contrary to the nature of who God is. There's a battle between those people and what we're listening to and what we're doing. And so John says, be confident of this thing. What is our confidence? You are from God. That you have overcome them. Well, how do I know I've overcome them? I mean, there are some slick false teachers. There are some slick preachers. There are some slick people. And how do I know I've overcome them? John says, you are from God and you have overcome them. How do I know this? For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who is He that is in us? The Holy Spirit is in us. Remember, we've mentioned this before. Jesus Christ is not actually in us. It's a theological technicality that some people get hung up on. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus Christ is. Who is within us? It is the Holy Spirit. And so when John says here in verse 4, little children, you are from God and you have overcome them, for He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. We have residing within us part of the Godhead, the all-powerful, all-sufficient, omnipresent, omniscient God dwelling within us, who is capable of informing us and illuminating us to the truth of God's word. So we say, well, man, we're supposed to test everything, and I don't have a degree in Bible. What am I supposed to do? Should I quit my job and go back to school and try to get a diploma to hang on my wall? Maybe that's what I need. To the chagrin of all schools out there, you don't actually need that. What do you need? Simple reliance on the almighty, all-sufficient Holy Spirit that resides within you. Why? Because He is greater than he that is in the world, the spirit of Satan and the influence of Satan that is in the world. Why are Christians so naively sucked into teachings that are outside of the realm of God's word? Because they don't understand the power and the authority that the Holy Spirit wields in their life. As believers, all of us need to make sure that we are engaged in the things of God. We're engaged in the work of the Holy Spirit. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us in such a way that He illuminates us, and He guides us, and He leads us into the truth. So John says this, the confidence for discernment is, letter A, we are the children of God. God is greater than Satan. God has overcome them. We have overcome them. It means by this that John is communicating there with that word overcome means we have not given in to them. It's not necessarily a physical battle like we were wrestling for, jockeying for position, and we were able to pin them down and we overcame them. John's communicating this idea that you did not give in to their teaching. You are from God. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to keep from giving into the teachings of those who would teach things contrary to the things of God. But then he does conclude by saying this, we are children of God, and we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is greater than he that is in the world, and we have overcome them, we have not given into them. But then he says in verse 5, they, who's the they? False teachers. Again, this is the subject that John is developing. False teachers is the subject. They're the spirits that are out there. And so he says, you have overcome them. You have not given in to them, the false teachers. But then in verse 5, he says, they are from the world. Who is they? It is the false teachers. Why do false teachers say the things that they do? Verse 5 explains that. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Remember the context of John, 1 John. Remember the kind of the big picture context that John is presenting is how do we know we're believers? How do I know that I'm a child of God? How do I have confidence in my Christianity? How do I know that I'm a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, John answers one of those ways in verse 5. Do you listen to false teachers? If you consistently listen to people who teach things that are outside the realm of God and his word, John is implying you are not a believer. Verse 5, they are from the world. False teachers are from the world. They're influenced by Satan. Therefore, they speak from the world. And who listens to them? The world listens to them. Who is the followers of the false teachers? It is the unbelievers. John's implication in verse 5 is this. If you consistently listen to false teachers, you are not a believer. This is the whole theme that he's been developing. How do I know I'm a true follower of Jesus Christ? Well, who do you listen to? Verse 6, he's going to explain it a little bit more. We are from God. Again, going back to this children and this beloved idea that he's been giving to us. We are the children of God. We have the Holy Spirit residing within us. We are from God. Verse 6, whoever knows God, whoever has this relationship with God, whoever has put their faith and trust in Christ, whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Think about the ramifications of what John is communicating here in 1 John chapter 4, especially verse 5 and 6. The ramifications of what John is communicating to us is this. There will be many who will say to Jesus Christ on that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, have we not done great things? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done miracles? There will be many who will say things like that to Jesus Christ someday. And what does God say to them? Depart from me. I never knew you. The implication I believe we can draw out of this particular text is this. There are a lot of people who claim Christianity who actually are not Christians. There are a lot of people sitting in chairs across America today who will sing songs like we sang and other songs, and they'll sing praises to God from a superficial human standpoint and not actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul communicates that idea in Timothy. John communicates that idea here. Peter communicates that. James communicates that. All of the writers of the New Testament communicate that concept. But John says that here, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. What's the implication? Who do they listen to? They listen to the spirit of Satan. See, we don't like to talk about Satan in church. Well, there's two people at play here, God and Satan. That's it. That's the only two people that are ever at battle with each other. From the beginning of time, it has been God against Satan. From the very beginning point of Satan rising up and desiring to have the position that he wanted to have, it has been this conflict that has been Satan against God, and Satan fell, and God punished him. And every conflict comes down between Satan and God. That's it. So you're either a follower of God or you're a follower of Satan. You either listen to God or you listen to Satan. You're either tracking along with the things that Satan wants you to do or you're tracking along with the things that God wants you to do. That's it. There's no other people involved in this process. There's not like a third or fourth or fifth group of people in there. It's Satan and it's God. And John is bringing this all to focus here in verse 5 and 6. Whoever listens to God is a child of God. Whoever listens to Satan is a child of Satan. And he says there, he wraps it up in verse 6 to say this, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God, Satan, truth, and error. Do I listen to the truth or do I listen to the error? Well, how do I know what the error is? Know your Bible. Filter everything through your Bible. Understand God's word. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life in such a way that you can discern what is truth and what is error. What amazes me and probably scares me is if some of the books that I've been handed over the years at Whitneyville are being handed to me at Whitneyville, what are being handed to the pastors in other churches? I'm not saying that Whitneyville is some elitist church, but we tend to be very heavy on doctrine. That's kind of one of our values. So if we're being handed and we're reading some of the things that people are picking up and reading at Whitneyville, what is being read by other people that are out there? And why aren't people at Whitneyville more discerning in what books they pick up and read, what people they listen to, what things that they follow after? All of us have an obligation, and that includes every Sunday you come and sit in these chairs and listen to Dave Dietz preach. You had better say, this had better follow Scripture. This had better be what God's word actually says. Anything that comes from my lips or anything that comes from anyone else's lips who proclaims God's truth or the things of God to you as a church at Whitneyville had better be filtered through God's word. To be the Bereans, if you will. To be the ones who tested and proved and tried everything. But too many Christians are too content to sit and say, oh, well, yeah, you know, I don't even know what he preached about today, but I'm sure it was good. Follow and know and understand God and his word, and you do not need a diploma on your wall to do that because you have the Holy Spirit. I am not knowledgeable in Bible because of the fact that I have a piece of paper that sits on my wall that may have helped me, that may have given me some other tools in my process, but my ability to know and understand God has to come from the work of the Holy Spirit who is within me. If your trust and your confidence is in a diploma or not having a diploma, you don't understand the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And so as believers, as you go through your life and you sit there and say, well, I don't have a degree. I've mentioned this before with our small groups that we did in Denver as we tried to get men to lead those different small groups. And many times they would say, well, Dave, are you going to be there? Yes, I'm going to be there. Then I'm not going to lead it because you know more than I know. Like, that's not true. I don't know everything. And if you think that I have some better position than you because I've got a degree or you have some less position than me because you don't have a degree, you fail to understand the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit who resides within you. So have confidence in this process because you can come out of verses 1, 2, and 3 and say, whoa, this is a daunting task. We're supposed to be discerning and prove everything, and I don't even know how to begin to do that. Well, how about just go home and get on your knees and say, all right, God, help me through the Holy Spirit. Help me to know the truth of your word. And God's not going to leave you hanging. God's not going to say, well, you know what? Go to Bible college and then you'll know the truth. God's not going to say that. He's going to help and he's going to encourage and he's going to bring other people into your life that will help and to encourage you to know and understand the truth of who he is and what he can do. Are we at Whitneyville Bible Church a discerning church? Not a paranoid church. Again, we should not be paranoid Some churches are paranoid. We should not be paranoid, but we should be discerning. Joel Tetreault spoke 2 weeks ago. Some of you know of him, some of you don't know of him. You should be discerning, not just because he tells crazy stories, but you should be discerning of him. Why? Because he's preaching and claiming to proclaim God's word. You could see how a charismatic personality can draw us into all of the things around him, and we fail to see the message that he delivers to say, is this what God's word actually says? Let's not be paranoid, but let's be discerning. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word this morning. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us and encourage each one of us in this process. What an amazing gift you have given to us. The gift of the Holy Spirit, who will lead us and guide us into truth. Father, thank you for that gift. You do love us, and you are so good to us. Father, we pray now these things in your Son's name. Amen.